Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem, dear friends. This is your radio pastor, Paul Verr, inviting you to share a few moments with me in the study of God's gracious dealings with man, as evidenced in the several covenants that he made, and which are recorded for us in Holy Scripture. As we consider the various biblical covenants in their order of occurrence in the Hebrew Scriptures, we see the everlasting covenant, God's marvelous plan of redemption, unveiled. God's covenants include the divine announcements of His holy and most blessed will, which He extends toward us in the blessings and benefits of His unmerited grace. The recipients of His blessings are those who are willing to receive them by faith, and who follow on to serve Him in faithful obedience. In our previous studies, we have considered the covenants God made in Eden with Adam, as the federal head of the human race before the fall. This is known as the Edenic Covenant. This was followed, after Adam's fall into sin, by the Adamic Covenant. We have also reviewed that special covenant that God made with Noah at the time of the general worldwide flood that destroyed all living things, except for Noah and his family, who were safe in the ark that God had directed him to build. The call of God to Abraham was a most vital step in the outworking of God's purpose in redemption. Until the time of Abraham, the Scriptures record nothing concerning the particular family or even the nation from which the promised seed would come. The declaration made by God in the Garden of Eden, following Adam's transgression, that the seed of the woman should fully triumph over the serpent, had, through the years of human history, been the very ground of the faith and hope of God's people. Now, in the covenant God made with Abraham, the friend of God, the promise of the Redeemer was not only renewed, but he added the new revelation of both the family of Messiah and the land of his birth. Messiah would spring from the descendants of Abraham, and the land of Canaan would be the land where Messiah's wonderful mission would be accomplished. It is well to be reminded at this point that God did not fully disclose to Abraham in one specific communication his divine plan. Rather, it took several communications at different times. All that Scripture records in the life of Abraham is intended to expound and illuminate the nature of the covenant made by God with him. In the simple narrative recorded in the first book of Moses, Genesis, we have the original promises made to Abraham. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This marvelous covenant was made with the patriarch when he was nearly 75 years of age. The first great purpose of the covenant made with Abraham was to reveal the lineage from which the Messiah was to come. The appearing of the promised seed in Abraham's own family line was the most prominent aspect of the different promises given. God said, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The international scope of the Abrahamic covenant clearly was announced in the expression, all families of the earth. With God's call, Abraham was elevated to a very unique and singular position. He was made, in a real manner, the root and center of the world's future history and blessing. While the blessing was to come chiefly through Abraham, God did have others through whom he spoke to the world, but they were people held substantially to the same faith and friendly relation with God. This can be seen even in Abraham's day in such individuals as Melchizedek, the priestly king of Salem. The great majority of blessing, though, was to flow through Abraham, the friend of God. The great rabbi from Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, stated in his letter to the Christian church at Galatia, God saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is the Christ. The thrust of Paul's reasoning rested not upon the mere word seed, but upon the great scriptural idea that is revealed progressively through the Hebrew Scriptures, the idea that an individual person, the promised Messiah, the Christ, would be the one in whom all of God's promises and blessings would be realized. As time would pass, the lineage of Messiah would be even more particularized, for we read, In Isaac shall thy seed be called. These words do not mean that all the descendants of Isaac would enter into the heavenly bliss. Rather, they affirm that it would be from Isaac that the promised Messiah, according to the flesh, would descend. This promise would be even further restricted when it was confirmed to Isaac's son Jacob. Still later, Judah, out of Jacob's 12 sons, was selected as the tribe from which the promised seed would arise. Then the family of Jesse, from among the thousands of Judah, was then honored to be the direct line for Messiah's birth. Jesse had 8 marvelous sons, but it was to the youngest, David, that the appointment was made to continue the line of descent to the Messiah. With the passing of time, the channel through which Abraham's seed, the Messiah, should issue was more and more narrowed down and defined. So it was that God gradually made it known how the original promises to Abraham would receive their fulfillment. The nation of Israel was indeed the physical seed of Abraham, and to them, as Paul outlines, to them pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Messiah came, who is, over all, God blessed forever. There is yet to be, sometime in the near future, a great purpose to be fulfilled in the nation of Israel. But it will still remain that all the blessings of Abraham will find their fulfillment only in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Paul, quoting from the prophet Isaiah, writes, And so all Israel shall be saved. And it is written, There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I will take away their sins. According to the prophets, Israel will one day be regathered from all the nations where God has scattered them. Restored Israel, under Messiah's reign, will yet have her greatest earthly exaltation and glory. This will take place at Messiah's second coming. The contents of the Abrahamic covenant were of a mixture of both the natural descendants and the spiritual seed of Abraham. So the covenant promises receive a minor and a major fulfillment. The temporary accomplishment of the promises are to his natural offspring here on earth, but the eternal realizations are to his spiritual children in heaven. It would be a mistake, however, for us to regard certain of the promises to be simply of a temporal kind, and restricted to only his natural descendants, while other promises are to be viewed only as of a celestial character, pertaining only to Abraham's spiritual seed. The truth is that the outward and the temporal never existed just for themselves alone. The truth is, the temporal promises were an appointed foreshadowing of the spiritual and the eternal, and a means for obtaining this. The outward and the temporal are only the shell and the shadow of the spiritual and the eternal. The Abrahamic covenant's first great purpose, then, was to make known the lineage from which the Messiah was to come. This covenant revealed also that God's ultimate design was the worldwide diffusion of the benefits it announced. The patriarch Abraham and his descendants were set apart by this covenant from all the other people of the world. The peculiar privileges and blessings of the highest value were conferred upon them, but in trust. For in Abraham all the families of the earth would be blessed. The scriptures declare, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made, which is Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." If you would enter into the spiritual blessings of the Abrahamic covenant, you will need to come by faith to Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In him alone is full salvation for both Jew and Gentile. Shalom, dear friends. May the God of peace make you whole in Messiah.